endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. I've got an interesting update to give you this morning relating to Jeff's struggles with his eye floaters. Teresa had suggested to Jeff to start putting colloidal silver in his eyes. And, well, Jeff called this week and said that he was beginning to have noticeable improvement in his eyes. And he believes it's due to the colloidal silver. I mean, that's really great. I mean, our family uses colloidal silver a lot. I mean, to the point where Teresa purchased some equipment to make our own. And personally, I've seen results with tooth issues, cuts that get in that could get infected. I've had some psoriasis problems that I've sprayed silver on, and that I've had noticeable improvement with. I've shared with you in the past how that I experience upper respiratory issues from time to time, and if I catch it soon enough and spray my throat with silver, I've at times completely stopped the progression of the infection. Teresa uses it, and she just thinks it's really good. And so anyway, that was a good testimony from Jeff related to that. Now, of course, I mean, you should always do your own research. But in some of my research, I found some interesting things related to silver. For instance, I've read that when the settlers were traveling across America in their wagons in order to keep their water from going bad, I mean, they used to put silver coins in their barrels. Then, of course, you know, when you find something good said about silver, you'll find people saying bad things, too. I read that people said that they were doing it for magic and stupid stuff like that. But anyway, I had read that people put silver in their water barrels to keep the water from going bad. A while back, I read a story about the U.S., quote, government through its Environmental Protection Agency. And they had issued a stop sale order to people selling the Berkey water filters. I've heard about Berkey water filters for many years, and I actually wished I had one. But I've just never seemed to bring myself to spend the money on them. I believe they're very expensive. But apparently the EPA, well, I mean, just listen to this from the Berkey website. The link is in their notes. What is going on with Berkey water filters? At the end of 2022, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, without undertaking any administrative process, used its regulatory authority to classify the Berkey water filtration filters. Let's just stop right here for just a minute. Here's an immediate problem for me, and I hope that for those of you who have paid close attention to the current series of messages on authority, I would hope that your ears just perked up with that statement from the Berkey website. Listen again. At the end of 2022, the EPA, without undertaking any administrative process, used its regulatory authority to classify the Berkey water filtration filters. All right. For the follower of Jesus Christ, an immediate alarm should go off when a statement like that's heard. It does for me. If Jesus Christ was given all power, all authority, then how do people make a statement and say that the U.S. EPA used its regulatory authority. If Jesus has all power, all authority, how did the U.S. EPA get some? Well, the short answer is, in my opinion, they stole it. They stole something that they were not supposed to have. And the reality is, the rebellious people who call themselves citizens of the U.S. gave it to them. They didn't have the authority. They just didn't take it. But the people of the U.S. who have agreed with their, quote, founding fathers, as in we the people, they the people, I refuse to let someone think that I'm part of their we the people. I never consented to that. I never agreed to being part of their we the people. And if you have, then repent of that bad decision. Ask God for forgiveness. Withdraw your consent to create, quote, authority where you have no right to do so. And begin living a life under the authority, under the power of Jesus Christ, and in Him, start moving, living, and having your being. In Matthew 28:18, where Jesus so simply, so clearly, I mean, it's just so simple. His statements are not difficult to understand. He spoke in such black and white, easy statements. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now go and immerse people in all the world with this truth. Simple. So simple are the words of Jesus Christ. He said that He has all power, not just in heaven, but on earth. You know, the Greek word for power, that which Jesus took to Himself. Okay, He didn't just take power. He just didn't claim to have power. He said He had it all. Okay, this isn't hard. This does not take a mastery of the Greek or English language to understand what He said. And the Greek word is exousia, defined this way, power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases, leave or permission, physical and mental power, the ability or strength with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises, the power of authority, influence, and of right, privilege, the power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. And Jesus has it all. Universally, authority over mankind. Well, that should be incredibly easy. Who could possess that? Man? Does man possess that definition of exousia, authority over mankind? No, God does. Jesus does. Specifically, the power of judicial decisions, of authority to manage domestic affairs, metonymically, a thing subject to authority or rule jurisdiction. Okay, clearly, man is supposed to be subject to the rule, to the authority of Jesus Christ. Listen, I understand the world does not get this. The world does not believe this, but that doesn't change the truth at all. It doesn't matter whether they get it or not. It doesn't matter whether they believe it. The follower of Jesus Christ must get this. The follower of Jesus Christ must understand it. The follower of Jesus Christ must believe this and then live it. And yes, the world hates it. The world will try to eliminate all who dare believe this about Jesus and attempt to apply it in their lives. But we cannot let that stop us. We must live by the exclusive authority of Jesus Christ because He said so. The U.S. EPA operates by fraud. It operates by theft. It functions out of rebellion to the clear, simple, easy words of Jesus Christ. Another definition, one who possesses authority, a ruler, a human magistrate. Well, of course, someone who's in the business of making a dictionary is going to include definitions that are worldly. Okay, so just take the good and throw out the bad. The leading and more powerful among created beings, superior to man. Spiritual potentates, a sign of the husband's authority over his wife. Well, when living by the authority of Jesus Christ, living, moving, and having our being in Christ, there is a way to live. The godly husband has authority, limited, absolutely, as long as he's staying by the guidelines, running his family by the word of God, he has, quote, power over his own wife and children. Men's, quote, governments. As long as men are confining themselves to keeping one another accountable to the few laws of God, Men have limited authority under Christ, prosecuting sins, which is murder, theft, perjury, rape, kidnapping, and just a handful of other sins. Men have power, God-ordained power, to carry out the judgments of his laws. And if they don't, if they fail to carry out the judgments of his laws, their civilization will fail, just exactly like it is today. You know, the city of St. Louis, not sure if it still is or not, but for years was known as the murder capital of the U.S. Okay, in Missouri, it's still known for its out-of-control sin. Their, quote, police force is known for blatant corruption. In fact, I don't know if they've done it or not, but there was talk about the, quote, state of Missouri doing away with the St. Louis Police Department and replacing it with, quote, state cops. Well, it was in the news this week about the major crackdown that that city had on traffic, quote, crimes. And what a great success it was. You know, speeding, non-valid paperwork, okay, terrible things like that, especially when compared to murder, rape, theft, etc., which is rampant in St. Louis. But let's focus on traffic issues. Let's devote a lot of manpower to that and take that away from the real issues. Okay, man has been given power to enforce the judgments of violations against God's laws, not man's, quote, laws, statutes, and ordinances. And until they figure that out, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, just like it does year after year after year. Another definition, the veil with which propriety required a woman to cover herself, the sign of regal authority, a crown. And of course, I mean, Jesus had that too. All hail, he said in Matthew chapter 28. The Berkey website article continues. Let's just begin again. At the end of 2022, the EPA, without undertaking any administrative process, used its regulatory authority to classify the Berkey water filtration filters, a trusted leader in gravity-fed water filtration systems and one of the most popular water filters in the U.S., as pesticides under the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, claiming that black Berkey filtering elements contain silver and are a pesticide device since silver is antimicrobial. With this new pesticide classification, Berkey products would be required to come with warning labels to this effect. So the US EPA admits that silver is an antimicrobial. Microbial. That's interesting. It's important to note that silver is not considered a pesticide under FIFRA and has not been regulated by the EPA as such before this. As silver is incorporated as a component of thousands of water filters and other consumer products, if it is regulated as a pesticide, manufacturers of these products would also be forced to register their products as pesticides and attach warning labels to them, end quote. Well, my guess is that this probably came about on Berkey because most people know that people that buy Berkey water filters have a reputation of being untrusting of their, quote, government. And now, I'm not the least bit recommending a Berkey water filter. That's not my point here. I'm just pointing out that the U.S. EPA sent a shutdown order to Berkey because the Berkey water filter has silver in it. And I just found it interesting. You may not, and that's certainly okay, which kind of brings me to another point. When I preach what I believe God wants people to know today, I believe that we've missed it. I believe that we've missed the truths that we're supposed to live by, and we've missed them by miles and miles and miles. We're not even in the same ballpark of understanding when it comes to what we're supposed to believe, which then causes us to live the way that we're supposed to live, which again, you know, it's just simple to me. We're supposed to live by the exclusive authority of Jesus Christ. And for those who think that Jesus gave his authority to the freaks, the queers, the perverts, to men and women who proudly claim the title of, quote, lawmakers, to me, that's just crazy. It's insanity. And as you well know, my ministry approaches the scriptures from a perspective, just like everyone else who claims to be a preacher of the word. All of us preach the word from a perspective. But my perspective is simple. Fear God, keep his commandments, that's a whole duty of man. But 99 0.9999% of other, quote, preachers preach the Bible from the perspective of fear God, but keep all the laws of men. That is the whole duty of man. You know, the English Standard Version sums it up this way. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Well, then, that is somehow used to completely unravel the standard by which men were supposed to live for hundreds of years prior, that being fear God, keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. Okay, well, we have to read from whatever Bible version someone has. You have to read 1 Peter chapter 2 and make it conform to Ecclesiastes 12:13. It's like I've said before, we work our way from the front of the Bible to the back, not from the back and then maybe to the front. Beginning in Genesis chapter 1, foundations are being made, principles are being established, and they're built one upon another. The first 39 books, or a slightly different a number of books if we use the Septuagint, lay the foundation for the rest of the Bible. The king in 1 Peter chapter 2 is Christ. And as we've seen many times before, the first 12 verses of 1 Peter chapter 2 help us to understand this. Or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. I understand what the Greek word for governors is here. I understand the confusion that it might create when people are not reading the Word of God from the perspective of Ecclesiastes 12:13. I understand the Greek word is the word that Greeks use to describe worldly leaders. But 1 Peter chapter 2 is not about worldly leaders. It is about the nation of God. It's about, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's the nation of God, and the nation of God has a king, and the nation of God has governors, and they're functioning in the capacity of those who punish evil and praise good. And I ask again and again and again, by whose definitions are we defining evil and good? Man has taken it upon himself to redefine evil and redefine good. And most of the time, those definitions are the exact opposite of God's definitions. Okay, this should make these seemingly difficult passages for some people, should make them very clear. And I want to come back to this again in just a minute, but I want you to see something else in this regards. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to begin in verse 1. We've been told that 1 Peter 2 and the book of Hebrews were written by separate but God-inspired men. Okay, and God is not going to tell one man something and then tell another man something different. Hebrews 13 will help us understand 1 Peter chapter 2, even though if we were reading 1 Peter chapter 2 with Ecclesiastes chapter 12 as our foundation, then we wouldn't be struggling the way so many others do. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. All right, stop there for a minute. What in the world does that mean? Bonds, desmios, jail, prison, taken captive. If Christians are submitting to every human institution that Caesars can create in their own imaginations, Well, how are Christians in jail in the first century? It doesn't make any sense. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation, your way of living, okay, it's not speech, though speech should be included. It's your way of living. Let your way of living be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Again, if Christians are to submit to every human institution, meaning whatever any other man tells you to do, whether right or wrong in the sight of God, where does the fear of man come into the equation? Look at what's going on in our world today. The quote church, the religious arm of the state, has convinced its congregants that they are to obey everything the state demands them, to the point where they are to completely throw out the very words of Jesus Christ. You know, I saw a video again this week where a quote preacher was once again trying to quote from Matthew 18. And he slipped up, you know, just like the clown at James River when quoting that Jesus said to treat them like a pagan and a tax collector. And this other quote preacher said, it means you're to have nothing to do with them. Do not allow them into your quote church. Do not allow them into your home. Yet their quote churches are totally submissive to and follow every single thing a quote tax collector tells them to do. And Christians are told not to fear what man shall do unto us. Why? Because men who refuse to yield to the authority of Jesus Christ are a very real threat, a very real danger to those who do yield their lives to the exclusive authority of Jesus Christ. And we all know this isn't the first time the Bible says that Christians are not to fear what man can do, but fear God. Men, they turn into roaring lions seeking whom they may devour. When they learn that there are people out there who refuse to submit to their perceived authority, people that submit to the authority of man do not live with fear about what men can do to them. The teachings of the quote church defy logic. All they talk about is submitting to men, submitting to Caesar. Yet there is so much evidence that first century Christians did not submit. There's overwhelming biblical evidence that God's people did not submit to those who are not submitting to Jesus Christ. And as much as they want to dismiss Acts 17 or explain it away or simply ignore it, it's not going away. The world accused them of not submitting to Caesar. The world said those Christians said there was another king and his name was Jesus and his authority came from God. The foundations upon which the followers of Jesus Christ obeyed is this. Okay, I'm going to deviate somewhat from taking the time to wait for you to turn to these passages like I normally would. Just listen to this. Rapid fire here. Deuteronomy 11, 27 through 28, a blessing. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Deuteronomy 13:4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Deuteronomy 27:10, thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Deuteronomy 30, verse 2, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. Today, we obey everyone's voice except for his. Joshua 24:24, the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Judges 2:17, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. Judges 6:10, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Go ahead, change the word Amorites here. Change it to Americans. Fear not the God of the Americans, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Change it with qualification, though. Today we understand even more of the picture. There's a principle there. The Americans just think it's their land. Well, it isn't their land. They do not own the land. God owns the land. And they're supposed to be submitting to God too, not just the believers. And speaking of land, again, we were born here just like a lot of them were. They don't have any, quote, right to force their beliefs on us. They don't have a claim to this land more than we have. I mean, who do they think they are? Oh, it's just so aggravating when they, for whatever reasons they claim, they refuse to think it through. They act like wild beasts. It takes consent. It takes consent from one man to another in order to have to, for someone to have, quote, jurisdiction one over another. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It isn't do what I say or else. That's for brute beasts. That's for men who have no ability to reason or to think. Jeremiah 3, verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Verse 25, we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Jeremiah 7:23, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Jeremiah 11, verse 3, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice. And do them according to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 26:13. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. This book has never been for the purpose of telling men and women, boys and girls, to obey people who refuse to obey the voice of God. Shame on the, quote, millions of preachers who tell people every single week that Christianity is about a life of submission to men. Jeremiah 42:6, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Verse 13, but if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 21, and now have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Whether you think what we are doing is good, or whether you think what we're doing is evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, our judge, our ruler, our magistrate. That's what Christians get from the Bible. It's all about serving God. It's all about yielding to his authority. It's all about preaching and living another king, one Jesus. Daniel chapter 9. This is what happens to a people when they leave the laws of God. And if this doesn't describe the world today, I don't know what does. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. The United States of America, the quote, state of Missouri, is not interested in walking according to the laws of God. They told me to my face many times, Charlie, you're a nut job. You've got no connection to reality. You need to understand that we do not know, go by God's laws. Yes, I understand that. And that is exactly what the problem is. That is exactly why you're in the shape you're in. But when you tell people that are cops, people that are persecutors, people that are judges in their world, okay, they don't care about what the problem is. They make their living. They have become rich. They have fancy cars and fancy houses. They go on fancy vacations, and they're rich with the world's riches. Why? All because of the proliferation of evil. And if somehow real evil were to subside, it wouldn't matter to them because they've made so many things, quote, illegal in their world that they could continue living in the prosperity that they have created from persecuting those who violate their definitions of good and evil. They're not interested in the laws of God because they have become rich men and rich women living in the world of the, quote, laws which they have created. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants and prophets. Yea, and all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all His works which He doeth, for we obeyed not His voice. And evidence now, those living in the first century who lived their lives based on the foundations that were laid hundreds of years before Acts 5 and verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 32, and we are His witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. The whole book is about drawing men and women, boys and girls, back to serving God, back to following His laws, to following His ways, and forsaking the ways of the world. 1 Peter chapter 2, Romans chapter 13, in just a few short verses, does not unravel the entire rest of the Word of God and the foundations that were laid beginning in Genesis chapter 1. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 13. We had left 1 Peter chapter 2 concerning the governors that were sent to punish evil and praise good. Should be a simple, simple, simple understanding. You obey people who are administering the definitions of good and evil as defined by God. It's simple. Verse 7, Hebrews 13. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. There it is. Again, it's simple, simple, simple. Who has the rule over you? Those who have spoken the word of God, whose faith follow, whose belief system follow, whose understanding follow them. Follow those people who have spoken unto you the word of God. When I've dealt with those in the world, the quote rulers, the ones concerning the churchmen who have commanded that we submit to, those people have eliminated God and His word out of their quote government. Those people are not ministers of God. Ministers of God are people who have spoken unto us the word of God. They are not people who don't know 1 Corinthians from 1 Chronicles. Those to whom Christians are to submit to are those who preach the word of God in truth. Verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. Different doctrines, strange doctrines. Do we not find it strange that God would spend all this time setting up the old covenant world and establishing a long history with His dealings with the Israelites and having scriptures, hundreds and hundreds of them, where He is constantly telling them to return to His laws, obey His statutes, obey His commandments? And then all of a sudden, God sends His own Son to walk on this earth and change everything from obeying God to obeying man? You talk about strange. That's just plain weird. It's ridiculous. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which should not profit them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the gate, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but seek one to come. There again, Christians do not have earthly citizenship. We are not to be citizens of the world. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. His name, again, that's authority. It's not saying the sound, J-E-S-U-S. It's continually living by the authority of that name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Okay, I said all that to get to this verse. This is the same thing as 1 Peter 2:13 through 17. Only difference is that it goes a little further. Not that it needed to. We should already know what 1 Peter 2 is talking about based on the foundations that were laid already for hundreds of years. But this verse goes a little further in helping us to understand. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. This isn't talking about a Caesar. There's no possible way that in the first century this is talking about a godless Caesar watching over their souls because they were to give account to God. The Caesars called themselves gods. The inscription on the coin from Luke 20 was that Caesar was the son of God. This Hebrews 13 passage is talking about the same thing the 1 Peter 2 passage is talking about. It's talking about the same thing that Romans 13 is talking about. It's about those who are administering the definitions of good and evil as defined by God and not by man. Which now brings me to another point that I want to make. There was some misunderstanding, at least by one listener, and I would think that if there was one that misunderstood, maybe there were more. So let's go back for just a minute to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay, I said, and I'll say it again. The definition of the word world here, as in cosmos, in the Greek, is government, as in man's little g governments. But I'm not saying that's the only definition. Love not the world is not just limited to man's little g, quote, governments. It's anything, it's anyone that opposes the government of Jesus Christ, and that's certainly a lot of things. But if you recall, I was talking about how, quote, preachers all use the same study tools. Most, quote, preachers use Strong's Concordance. Some use Thayer's Greek Lexicon. Some use the Septuagint. But there's tools out there that are available to everyone. Okay, the internet has pretty much made the ability to get information universal. If you go to the blueletterbible.org website and use their online Strong's Concordance, the first definition that they provide for cosmos is government. Now, that's not the only definition, and I made that clear. Cosmos can also mean the world that God created, as in the grass, the trees, the birds, the sky, and all of that. And I thought I made that clear last week. And I said that definition absolutely did not fit 1 John 2:15, because God's creation is awesome. God's creation is beautiful. It's perfect. He loves his creation, and so should we, as long as it remains in its proper place. The biggest reason I was hammering home, quote, government as the definition of world in 1 John 2:15 is because that's the definition from the blueletterbible.org website, and every single, quote, preacher in the world can see it too. It's not something that I pulled out of thin air somewhere. Okay, it's right there. Okay, but why those other guys refuse to teach it, it's amazing to me. How could they read the words of Jesus concerning the tax collector and just completely dismiss it, glaze over it, look the other way. I mean, it's just amazing. But that's exactly what they do. Okay, we're all looking at the same thing, but it doesn't mean the same thing to me as it does to them. And again, it's because of perspective. If you do not understand that the whole duty of man is to fear God and obey Him, then you will not see the scriptures the same way that someone else does. For instance, who reads, fear God, obey His commandments, that's the whole duty of man. You won't see the scriptures the same way. This is not being preached today. And it's why we're in the shape we're in. You know, I heard another quote preacher this week talking about the first century Christians, first century preachers. And the guy said, quote, every single one of them were arrested. Every single one of them were put in jail for preaching Christ, end quote. And as he was saying it, as if something was wrong today because preachers are not being arrested, preachers are not being put in jail, and I was, at least in America, and I was just listening with total amazement that he was just sort of dancing all around the truth but couldn't quite figure it out. Now, hopefully he will. I mean, hopefully he will come to the truth that when you live, no king but Jesus, when you live by all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, you are going to have trouble with men's little g quote governments because they are doing exactly what the Bible says men are not supposed to be doing. And if the world persecuted Jesus, they will persecute his followers too. We were in Acts chapter 19 looking at the seven silly sons of Sceva. And these were people who were trying to say that they were doing things in the name of, by the sound of the letters J-E-S-U-S, and they did not have the real power of Christ, the real power of the authority of Christ. And when they came under attack, they got destroyed, and rightly so. Living by the authority of Jesus Christ is not for an imposter. It is not for someone who does not understand what it means to live and move and have our being in Jesus Christ. I've told people who have acted like it was something, you know, even though I've said many times, it was not something to last almost 5 years in a battle with those who oppose the government of Christ. I've lived this way for my entire adult life. You know, those men came to me and they said, if you'll just do this one little thing, all of this will go away. But what they didn't understand was that I don't even know how. I don't even know how to just do this one little thing. Okay, the one little thing that they wanted me to do, I couldn't have done it if I had wanted to do it. I am what I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and his government. I haven't lived as a citizen of their government. I wouldn't know how to do it. I wouldn't even know where to begin. It's as foreign to me as if someone was telling me that I needed to be a Russian citizen. I've never even been to Russia. And I know it just sounds so crazy because the quote state is such a huge part of most people's lives, but I've lived without it my entire adult life. I've only claimed to be a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, and it's all I know. The U.S., the quote state of Missouri, it's as foreign to me as Russia or China would be to most U.S. quote citizens. So I'm saying this to you to help you understand what I'm talking about by saying that I'm living by the authority, by the government of Jesus Christ, and it's such a part of me. Well, I can't separate myself from it, even if I wanted to. Obviously, I don't want to, but I couldn't. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When the thought of being a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel is the only thing that you think about, then it becomes real. So is he. And let me say this. I don't necessarily think that it happens overnight either. Okay, I've known people. I've got people in my life right now who lived pretty much their entire adult lives as U.S. quote citizens. And when they realized how wrong that was and they turned their back on it, that thinking in his heart, it didn't take over instantly. It was a process. It was a continual reminder that this is who I am now. You know, I used to be this, but now I'm this. And the more he thought on it, the more he allowed it to take over his heart, the more it became a part of him. When persecutions came and his faith was tested, it became more and more real. And the "so is he" became more and more ingrained. And it's been an awesome thing to see. Now, others I've known wanted it to be a part of their life, or at least they said so. They wanted citizenship in the Commonwealth of Israel. But when the trials came, when the testing came, they fell away. That's pretty sad, but it happens. But the more we persevere, the more we trust in the faith, the more we allow our lives to be refined by the fires of the trial, with each time we remain trusting, we become more like refined gold. That's what the scriptures tell us. When I was arrested years ago, and I was arrested because I don't have state-issued ID. I don't have approved, quote, papers. You know, my son-in-law likes to talk about how so many people talk about how evil Hitler was and quote, Nazi Germany, and how people used to rail against the Nazis over, "Show me your papers." I mean, though today in America, "Show me your papers," it's the standard. It's the norm. And the brain-dirty people are so far gone that they love to, quote, show their papers. But anyway, I don't have their, quote, papers. Their papers are an affront to the government of Jesus Christ on many levels. Their papers establish friendship with the world, which makes enmity with God. And I'm not the least bit interested in taking that chance. So I'll just avoid their, quote, papers and not risk becoming the enemy of God. I don't have their, quote, papers. And they claim they wanted to put me in prison for the rest of my life, for goodness sake. 98 years is what they said over and over because I didn't have their papers. Well, I have papers, though. I mean, I've got papers that identify me as a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. Not because Jesus commands me to have, quote, papers. He does not. However, there are scriptures that indicate that some first century followers of Christ did have some form of papers that identified them as being true followers of Christ. You know, there were imposters then. Okay, seven silly sons of Sceva were some. Paul said there were imposters. Jesus said many would come in his name saying this and that, but they were not of him. Anyway, I have for at least 40 years now carried with me an ID that identifies me not as a citizen of the world, but as a citizen of the government of God. And I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. It is a testimony, an open public testimony of who I say I belong to. Well, the representatives of the, quote, state of Missouri declared my ID as felony forgery. According to their definitions of evil, they said that they were felony forgeries. Well, I thought that issue was settled a long time ago. Okay, I mean, just with a plain understanding of what a forgery is. You know, taking, like, for instance, a state of Missouri driver's license and making something that looks like it. You know, that to me is the definition of forgery. Well, they went way beyond that. But not just when the last of their judges were against me that declared that my documents were not felony forgeries, not even by their definitions, but from something that I'd found many years ago, even before I was arrested. Now, in the notes of this message, there's a document that I hope that you will look up to see this for yourself. Okay, I did not know Robert Fox. I wish I would have known him. Okay, he's passed away, so there's no chance of that. But I have spoken with a man from Texas who did know him, claimed he knew him well. And this man said that Robert Fox truly was who Robert Fox claimed to be. And I wish that I would have been able to meet him. But Robert Fox had made himself a homemade passport. And he said that it was from Elohim's kingdom. It was a passport from the government of God, the God of the Bible, and he made it for himself as a document for identification. He even said specifically as a travel document. Well, men's little g, quote, governments down in Texas did not like that. They are only happy when people obtain their identification documents only from them. And they want people to live and move and have their being only in them. And if you dare live and move and have your being in Jesus Christ, well, they're going to come after you with a vengeance. And that's exactly what they did to Robert Fox. They charged him. They arrested him. They took him to trial. He was found guilty of some form of a forgery. Well, then his case went to another court. And just like in mine, somehow, more than likely the providence of God, his case made it to a, quote, judge that at least had some form of honesty, decency, and had some ability to reason and think. Well, this whole document is very interesting, and I hope you'll take the time to read it, even though it is a court decision from a U.S. federal, quote, court. Well, the whole thing's interesting, but what interested me the most was what the judge said at the end of his fairly lengthy document. And he said his decision was simple. There was no forgery. There was nothing the least bit, quote, wrong, even in their world, about a Christian man making his own documents, identifying him as a citizen of the government of God. And after he gave his reasons why, he said the following things about Robert Fox. And this is what I mean about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is great. It's really awesome. And I've shared this before. Back when I was going through my trials, I shared this with you before. But for those of you who are new, I want you to hear this again. Just in case this comes up again in a trial with a believer who's being persecuted by the state, this is what their judge said, quote, "For the reasons stated above, the motion to dismiss of defendant Robert James Fox is granted, and count one of the indictment charging a violation of Title 18 United States Code Section 1546A is hereby dismissed. So ordered." Fox was found not guilty of the Section 915 count after a trial before the court. Now, you'll need to read the whole thing to understand that. Robert was also charged with impersonating an ambassador, as in, we are ambassadors for Christ. I mean, that's what 2 Corinthians 5:20 says. And whether they understand it or not, whether they receive it or not, whether they believe it or not, that is what the Word of God says, and that is what it says about followers of Jesus Christ, that we are ambassadors for Christ. The judge continued, listen carefully, it's awesome. This is what Robert Fox stood on. This is what their, quote, judge noted in his comments for dismissal. In this regard, the court notes that Fox denies being a citizen of any worldly country or having allegiance to any political entity. Listen to that again. In this regard, the court notes that Fox denies being a citizen of any worldly country or having allegiance to any political entity. That's very interesting. Apparently, that had some weight, that had some value with this, quote, federal U.S. judge. Understood a man having the, quote, right to declare what his allegiance is to. He does not have to associate himself with someone that he doesn't want to associate with. That is called freedom of association, the, quote, right to peaceably assemble. It goes on. In his answer to the charges filed November 27, 1990, Fox stated the following. "I am a Hebrew man of the tribes of Israel. I am a descendant of Shem, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. I'm a native-born American and a stranger and sojourner in the land of my birth. I am not now, nor have I ever been, a citizen of the United States. I created the Kingdom of Israel passport as a travel document and as a means of identifying myself, and it is evidence of my declaration of my allegiance to the Creator of the universe. I deny that the passport is forged, counterfeited, or falsely made. It is a genuine Kingdom of Israel passport, and I have made no attempt to impersonate myself. I am myself, end quote. That's what the judge said about Robert Fox. Now, I know that was Robert Fox's statement, but the judge included that in his order of dismissal. In the face of persecution, in the face of arrest, trials, conviction, and imprisonment, Robert Fox did not turn his back on his belief in who he was. Listen, friends, if you claim to be a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, it better be real. You better be ready to stand, even if it costs you your life, your freedom. And having done all, stand. This is serious business. A Commonwealth of Israel ID in the hands of one of the seven silly sons of Sceva just might get you torn apart and left naked. If you claim the authority of Jesus Christ, you need to understand how serious this is. We're in a battle against spiritual wickedness, the rulers of the darkness of this world, people, not demons, people who hate Jesus Christ, hate his government, and hate his followers. But in spite of all that, we're on the winning side. We're on the side of Jesus Christ, of his Father, of the many saints that have gone on before, the great cloud of witnesses. Let us run the race with patience. Let us endure unto the end. Let's take up the cross and follow Christ.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.